Indoctrinated into Eastern mysticism.
Nope.
It can be interesting for most people. Pray for Jenny. She's fighting allergies or something.
Yeah, me. Ask Jenny Alba.
You got Kleenexes up there?
Okay.
We don't think she's contagious because, you know, I'm kissing on her all. I mean, we live together. And I haven't gotten it. So, that's what you have to be real careful with, antibiotics and medicine, steroids and things. They can mess your system up, trigger autoimmune disease, or trigger allergies, all kinds of things. I know, I've been dealing with it. So, with that, let's turn to page 7. In your praise book, page 7, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Just so happens I'll sing lead on 2 of the 3 songs, give her a little break tonight.
We live in the Laodicea.
My friend. I always joke, I said, this is my tribute to Neil Diamond. As I say, after I wrote it, I could hear him sing this. Wouldn't it be great for him to get saved and sing this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just think of Neil as you're singing.
His love makes my heart pure.
Thank you to the best undamned band in the land.
Welcome.
My pleasure. Well, yes.
Those of you online,
God made it possible.
Yeah, who supplied most of those instruments?
I think he's a reformed dude. He lost, that's for sure. Prayer request is at bbfohio@protonmail.com. And onliners, raise your hand. Jane's going to bring around the cards.
I love my dad.
And we get a sound check.
My dad's amazing. Okay, check. Check. Check.
All right.
Didn't hear any complaints, so I think it sounds good.
Hey, Ted, I'm so good so far.
Can you tap on that one for him?
This one?
Yeah, wait till he has headphones on. Put your headphones back on. Yeah, tap on that one. Can you hear?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that. All right, we all zoomed in. Looks like that's what you're doing. As your reminder, Stephen. somebody else said that. I don't know who it was. It was always one. Who will it be this week, though? Yeah, we'll have to have everybody sign a waiver when they come in that they'll commit to that. All right, Eastern Mysticism, Isaiah 47 is where we're going to dig in to begin with.
Hi, everybody.
And that's after our current events update, so hold your questions, comments, please, to the end of our current events update brought to you by Black Licorice.
Woo-hoo!
Headline reviews in the news. Not enough people are taking the communist liberal cult seriously. So, I want to show you something. Liberals hate and attack the Bible.
Just how far is the left's censorship going to go? Will Americans sign a petition to ban the Bible? Let's find out.
Will you help us to ban the Bible?
Ban the Bible?
We're just trying to get rid of this hate speech just to help the New World Order, but Amazon is still selling it to a lot of people, and we're just trying to get them to stop that.
Why don't you
ban the Bible? Well, you know, it makes a lot of people feel uncomfortable. It's hurting a lot of people's feelings. Just print here and print it perfectly. You know, the Bible hurts a lot of people's feelings, and it makes a lot of people feel uncomfortable. And if we can get rid of it, you know, that'll really help with the New World Order. A lot of people want to burn the existing ones, but maybe we can do that later. Thank you. Amazon has finally stopped selling a lot of racist and anti-Semitic books by people like former KKK leader David Duke. They were selling his autobiography for years. They finally stopped selling it, but they're still selling the Bible, so we're just trying to...
So I'm just signing to not have the Bible be sold on Amazon?
Yeah.
Like a good thing for humanity.
You know, somebody already purchased one. You know, I mean, at least at this point, we're not going to confiscate them, maybe in the future, but we just don't want anybody else to be purchasing the copies.
Good luck.
Thank you.
But you say hate speech. I want to make sure we're on the same page.
Yeah. Well, the Bible has a lot of homophobia in there, and, you know, it says that the Jews conspired to have Jesus killed. It's an anti-Semitic trope, so we're just trying to get the Bible banned to help stop the hate speech. And
I'm on board with you there.
On board with us there. You know, I mean, for the people who have already bought one, I mean, at least at this point, we're not going to be confiscating them, maybe in the future, but we're just trying to get the new purchases stopped and just ban it from all the stores. Thank you so much.
Good deal.
Will you help us to ban the Bible? We're just trying to stop the hate speech.
For what?
Well, Amazon's still selling the Bible. They stopped selling a lot of racist and anti-Semitic books in the last few years, but they're still selling the Bible. So, we have a lot of stuff in there that hurts a lot of people's feelings.
Thank you.
We're just pranking you, by the way. The Bible is.
We're just pranking you, by the way.
So if we can get Amazon to stop selling that, we can help stop the hate speech. We're going to leave the Quran up there, though. We don't want to be Islamophobic, though. You help us to ban the Bible. We're trying to stop hate speech, but they're still selling. You don't have to be registered at all. This is just to send Jeff Bezos to Amazon to get him to stop selling the Bible. A lot of, yeah. This print birthday and a signature. As you probably know, a lot of hate speech, a lot of homophobia in the Bible.
There's a lot of twisted things.
Yeah, and it's time we finally get rid of it once and for all.
Smartest thank you. Room was
we're going to get Amazon to stop selling it. We're gonna ban it once and for all. Yeah, in today's New World Order, that kind of reading material is not really necessary. Well, thank you for your support. Amazon has stopped selling a lot of anti-Semitic and homophobic books over the last several years, but signature to ban the Bible, they still continue to sell the Bible, so we're trying to just get them to stop that. And final phase of the New World Order can unfold. Thank you.
That goes on for a number of minutes. I just thought I'd show you that pretty much every age group was represented there. And the one guy, it was probably the one conservative in there, or maybe he's a libertarian, I don't know. You can see the whole video at rumble.com on Mark Dice's channel. Woke Americans signed petition to ban the Bible for hate speech in shocking experiment. Just picture those people taking the mark of the beast and then turning others in who do not.
Yep.
That's who those people are. The rapture to heaven right now, that's what they would do. They're your neighbors. They're some of your friends. They're some of your people you went to school with. Some people you work with or work with now. Your, you know, relatives. It's an amazing thing. But also, liberals hate and attack biblical prayer. And
the Supreme Court hears oral arguments, which could be a test of religious freedom in public schools. Here's One America's Justine Brooke Murray.
The High Court is considering a case in which a high school football coach, Joseph Kennedy, was fired in 2015 for praying on the field after football games. The school district argued that praying publicly made students feel coerced into participating. However, some justices, who seemed more critical of the school board, claimed the board changed their reasoning from their original complaint, that allowing prayer on the field would make the school look like they're endorsing a religion. Coach Kennedy views his case as a fight for religious freedom.
Well, I like to think it says that everybody can exercise the First Amendment equally, you know, if it's religion or free speech. It doesn't matter if you have beliefs or no beliefs. It applies to everybody equally, and we got our day to actually show that in America, the First Amendment still applies.
What message do you have to high school players now who might be afraid to express their own religious beliefs, or they might be afraid to pray on the field?
Same thing I've always said. Everybody has a right to do whatever the amendments say, and you feel free to exercise all of your rights.
A decision in this case is expected by June. From Washington, Justine Brooke Murray, One America News.
For all our viewers asking where One America News is heading in the future, we would like to introduce you to OAN Live.
Just kind of related that OAN is being canceled by the capitalist commies at DirecTV AT&T. Why? Because they're communists. You say, well, they're private, corporate. Yeah, that doesn't matter. It's corporate communism. That's what's taken over in this country and around the world. Globalists have just basically decided that they are going to establish a one-world government by bypassing national sovereignty. And but at the same time, national sovereignty is under attack. And I didn't have enough information to share it tonight, but there's something coming up in May, I think May 22nd, the United Nations is going to be making a declaration that basically, if it were accepted, would destroy the national sovereignty of each country over its own healthcare systems.
Wow.
And we'll say more about that when I get more information. But I urge you to go to OANN.com if you can't watch One American News Network on your TV. If you don't have cable, we watch it on Roku, a thing called Cloud TV. We pay like $2 a month or something like that, and it's worth it to have good news. And if you get on your Roku, Cloud spelled K-L-O-W-D TV, they have Newsmax. It's free. And then they also have the much maligned and hated Alex Jones and InfoWars. And I just tell people all the time that Alex Jones, I don't agree with everything he says, but I'll guarantee you this, I agree with him more often than I do CNN. So,
that should be on your phone, too.
Yeah, and you can watch it on your phone if you, yeah. They have an app, yeah. I believe, that you can use on your phone. I'm one of those guys that still doesn't use my phone for much other than texting and phone calls. I do have a couple of apps like MeWe I use, but I don't use it near as much as others. I forget, so thanks for reminding me. Unrepentant liberal communists will not stop until Jesus Christ returns and destroys them all. And it's like never before, folks, in this country. I don't believe it's ever going to let up until after the rapture. We won't have to deal with it after the rapture, and then 7 years after the confirmed covenant between the Antichrist and Israel, Jesus will come back and put a stop to it. But between now and then, for as long as you're on this earth, I hope you will do everything you can to preach the gospel and to stand for what's right, which means you've got to stand against these liberal commies. Comments, questions, anyone, before we move on? Well, that's weird. Amen and amen. All right, let's get into our study then. Isaiah 47:10 is where we're going to start. I said in our MeWe post that this will be more relevant and important to you in your life than you may think going into it. I'm glad to see that most everyone of our normal Wednesday night crowds here, and you didn't opt out on this study because it's important information. We're going to get right into it after we open with a word of prayer. We're glad to have Brother John Allball with us, by the way. He spent the night in a hospital room and recovering from an infection. I won't get into the details, but he had some Muslim doctor come in and threaten to cut his leg off. So, thankfully, they didn't do that. But glad to have him, Brother John Thurston. Glad to have you and Doug and everybody here. I think several of you have gotten over some stuff here recently. And glad to see the Lord's answer in prayer and keep you in decent health. So ask Brother John Thurston if you would. Will you open Bible study prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. We can't come together around your word and learn from it tonight. I pray that you would remove distractions and help us to hear from you in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Say, as we're getting started, that one of the main reasons this is important is because a lot of people you know are into this. You just don't know it. Some of you may know it, but some of you don't. Believing in no personal God while seeing oneself as part of the all. That is Eastern mysticism. But a lot of people believe in the Eastern mysticism and hold that view, but they don't express it clearly. And they'll say they believe in God. But then when you ask them what they mean by God, they don't really believe in the personal God of the Bible, the God who is a person. He has personality. He's not a force. He's not just energy. He is a person. We call him Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, Peter told Ananias and Sapphira, "You have not lied unto men, but unto God," when he said you had lied unto the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is referred to as a he and him. So these are personal pronouns for a person. And he can be grieved. He laughs. And on it goes. So we have a personal God And Eastern mysticism rejects the idea of a personal God. Let's read a great picture. What's wrong?
It says read the eye verse.
Oh, yeah. verse 10, it is an odd verse, but it's even. But let's read verse 10 together. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thy heart, I am, and none else beside me. Now, that may, at first glance, just look like somebody thinks they are God, like the only true God.
Yeah.
But what this is reflecting is the view of those who are in these Eastern mystic religions, and it's tens of millions of Americans included. It's an amazing description of what Eastern mysticism is all about. Thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. These people don't believe in sin. And what you and I call sin, they do not believe is sin. They believe in, there are differences, and we can't go into every one of these Eastern religions and discuss all the differences. But I'll use some representative ideas so you know what I'm talking about. How many of you heard of the yin and the yang, or the yin and the yang?
Yep.
Yep.
That's the idea that there's no good or evil, that it's just kind of a white and dark, light and darkness, but it's all just the same. There's no good or evil. It's not sin. And one is necessary for the other, and they complement each other. And so that's why, whenever things come out that people are trying to normalize, that previous generations would say it was wicked, the next generation more and more is saying, well, who are we to judge? A lot of times you hear people say, don't judge. It's because they have this view of the world. They don't believe in sin. Here's some Eastern mystic religions. You might recognize some of them. Hinduism. That would include Mahatma Gandhi. And then there's Buddhism. A lot of actors and actresses. Richard Gere and some of those guys have gotten into this stuff. Taoism. We're going to see a rock singer that is very popular in the 70s and 80s. Is it really into that? Confucianism. Confucius say. Then there's Sikhism, mm-hmm. Sufism, which I believe is what Dr. Oz. It's his. It's a very mystical form of Islam, and most other Muslims don't really recognize them as Muslims. Sanamahism, Shintoism, Jainism. And I put et cetera because it goes on. There are a lot of smaller, these are the groups that have the larger number of adherents. Now, Eastern mysticism, one, a common pantheistic core belief that there is no personal God, but all is. All is God, and God is all. We're all at part of the universe of God and the God of the universe and all that. In America, Eastern mysticism is basically found in what we call the New Age movement. How many of you heard of the New Age movement?
Yeah.
Hopefully everybody here has. The New Age movement is kind of a very American form of Eastern mysticism because you can take whatever you want from each one of these religions and say, I like that, I like this, I like the idea of reincarnation, but I don't really like the idea of karma, and all this stuff. And here's some of the things you might have heard people say and not realized it comes from Eastern mysticism. The universe is telling you something. Or somebody could say, maybe the universe is trying to tell you something. That's directly out of Eastern mysticism. Let me tell you, we hear it all the time in these family movies. It's supposed to be family movies. And you hear that all the time. Then, how many of you heard, you are stardust?
You are stardust.
Oh, yeah.
You're made of the stuff of stars. They always have this goofy look on their face. I think it's a great thing. And, because evolution was born out of this. The theory of evolution did not originate with Charles Darwin. And as a matter of fact, his granddaddy, Erasmus Darwin, had the same view of evolution, but Erasmus was out of the closet as in the Eastern mysticism. And he told people that's where he got the idea. The evolution and Eastern mysticism goes very well together. And again, I wish we had, I thought about making this a 2 or 3 part series, because we could, but we're just going to give you this information and you can go do your own research beyond it. How many have heard of a bad storm that says Mother Nature must be angry?
Yeah.
That's a very pantheistic statement. In a former life, I must have been Italian because I love pizza. You heard those kind of things?
Oh, yeah.
In a former life, that's the idea of reincarnation, which is common in these Eastern mystic religions. And, of course, karma. The Bible says that the man will reap what he sows, but it is based in the fact of God's existence. It starts by saying, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. This karma doesn't have anything to do with God. It's with the energy of the universe. But Americans just kind of Americanize this. Because karma doesn't have anything to do with, like, if you were mean to somebody at the store, then you'll have a fender bender on the way home. And that's what people say. That's not karma. Karma says that because of what you did in the previous life, that in this life, whatever good you experience or whatever you suffer is because of that previous life. And according to karma, you're stuck. It's like fatalism. There's nothing you can do to change it. All you can do in this life is do better so that your next life will be better. And you won't come back as a cockroach. So when you hear people talk about karma, they're usually not even anywhere close to the real concept. I mean, I had a Zen moment. All over the social media, people post a tranquil scene. They'll call it a Zen moment. That's from Buddhism. And here's a common one. Knock on wood. I've done it. Back, you know, when I was in Southern Ohio, a lot of friends, relatives, teachers, everybody would do that. Knock on wood. That's the idea that all is God and God is all. There's an energy force throughout everything in the world. And that so doing things like knocking on wood, you're releasing energy. Have you ever thought about what else it would mean? Because one day I was like, I wonder what people think that does. Knock on wood.
I don't know.
Hmm.
No idea.
John?
What I was taught in my early days is when you knock on wood, you're knocking on the cross of Christ.
That's baloney. Well, that's somebody trying to make up something to justify their superstition.
Yeah. That word is like a good luck. If I knock on wood, I'll get some good luck.
Yeah, that's another thing people will do a lot of their superstitions, they'll try to sanctify it. But the Bible says you pray.
Amen.
If you want answers to prayer, you don't knock on wood, you don't, you know, kiss your cross or cross yourself or what, all that superstition. This is just how prevalent it's becoming, and the New Age kind of had a falling off for a few years, but they're calling it the second coming of the New Age, and they made a little short film, a local Fox affiliate in the state of New York, but in their article about it, it says a recent study from the Pew Research Center found that 60% of respondents held a New Age view, like believing in reincarnation, astrology, psychics, or a belief that there's energy or physical objects like mountains, crystals, or trees. There's energy. You see, that's why I said, like with witchcraft, it has some occultism, of course. It's an occult thing, but not everybody who's in the occult is a witch. Well, Eastern mysticism is very occult, but not everybody in the occult is into Eastern mysticism. There's this bleed over. It's all under the Satanism denomination. And 60% of respondents. That's a high number. The reality is that Eastern mysticism is now pervasive in Western culture. Some estimates put the number as high as 35 million Americans who are pantheistic practitioners at some level. 35 million. That's more than there are Bible believers.
Yeah. Yep.
Sure. Now, whether or not people are saved and they put that number around 40 million, I hope so. I hope there's as many people as possible. You can be saved and still not be a Bible believer because you're not being taught and you're not following up and you just have wrong beliefs and all that. There are going to be saved people who go to heaven. They're not going to be Bible believers in this lifetime. But that's certainly higher than the number of Bible believers.
What is NCAI?
Well, we'll come to that in a minute. Eastern mysticism, too, usually are polytheistic. That means they believe in gods, but they don't have like one little god they cling to. They have numerous gods. And I'll tell you right now, you'll find that among the Roman Catholic and Greek Orthodox. They call them saints. Now, there's nothing wrong with the saints. We're all saints by the blood of Christ. But when you reuse the reference of saints like historic Christians, there's some great saints in the past. But we're not supposed to pray to them. And, of course, in any way worship them. And sadly, and listen, just in case there's a Roman Catholic watching and they say, well, I'm being anti-Catholic. No, this is something that if you read, you'll see that there are Catholic apologists trying to teach people not to worship the saints because they go too far. Now, praying to them is an act of worship. A lot of people deny that. But it is. It's a prayer is an act of worship. So if you're polytheistic, that means you're if you're praying to someone other than God, then you're probably practicing polytheism because you're praying to Michael or what are some of the St. Jude and you have all these and Mary, of course, and all these different people that they pray to. They don't want you praying to them. Those wonderful saints are in heaven and they do not want you praying to them. They want you to obey the Bible. And when you get to heaven, you ask them, they'll tell you that. They want you to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. God's word is in this book, and it never tells you to pray to anybody else. But outside of Christianity, these polytheistic religions usually have countless demigods to represent what they call spirit guides. Actually, if they're really in contact with the spirit, it's a devil. But they believe that these spirit guides are people either alive or deceased who have reached a higher consciousness. Sometimes they call it the Christ consciousness. And I got into this for a little while before I got saved. And was kind of talked into believing that Jesus was Christ, but he was just one of many. And there was these other, and I didn't know anything about him. When I found out more about him, like that's not the same as Jesus, but Buddha, for example. Buddha left his wife and kid to go off and sit somewhere and meditate and let them fend for themselves. And he came up with all these mystical ideas and everything that you can reach a state of nirvana and all that. It's hogwash. He was supposed to have had the Christ consciousness. And Confucius and these others all were supposed to have had the same thing. So that's the idea behind Eastern mysticism. Now, my wife is... I'm sure some of you have too, but she's come home and told me sometimes when she's worked with people from those religions. I remember one lady, you asked her how many gods they had, and didn't she tell you like a million?
She said, oh, there are millions of gods.
Yeah.
Millions. That's what she did, like that. I only worship one god, though. I'm like you. I only worship one god. Alibaba or somebody.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah. They call them demigods, but they're actually demon gods. You see them represented with idols. And the idol is representing a disembodied guide. This is usually someone who has been...
Sai Baba. That's
what it was. Sai Baba. Sai Baba. But these idols are usually representing someone who lived, and they're supposed to have reached that higher plane. And now they've gone on and they're disembodied spirits. Then there are the gurus who are still alive. And then when they die, they'll be worshipped like an idol. But the gurus are believed to be gods on earth. And the Beatles, at least two or three of them, got really caught up in Maharishi. Yeah. Well, Hare Krishna was one of the religions they followed, but there was a living guru named Maharaji Mahesh Yogi. And they believed, for a while at least, that he was a god on earth. I mean, you're talking about some weird stuff. And then, of course, they just worship nature. And they like to say, I like to go out in nature. That's my church. And that's where the tree hugger thing came from, by the way. And they're literally trying to become one with nature. Jim?
John Denver.
Yeah, he was into that.
He was a pantheist and he worshipped nature. Yeah. I was so disappointed when I heard that, but it makes sense.
Yeah. So again, the reality, any of this look familiar? The Dalai Lama. I believe deeply that we must find all of us together a new spirituality. This new concept ought to be elaborated alongside the religions in such a way that all people of goodwill could adhere to it. That's what the Antichrist would say. That's Antichrist.
That's what she said.
Well, quote, I found eternal peace in a Shinto shrine. I've been to Shinto shrines and God is everywhere. Christ is one of the ways. God is everywhere. Norman Vincent Peale. I'll tell you, Robert Schuller from the Crystal Cathedral and a bunch of those other guys are into that stuff. And they would say the name of Jesus and talk about salvation and even refer to the cross. But when you listen to what they meant by those words, they didn't mean what you and I mean. This is Rick Springfield, who said he wished he had Jesse's girl. Quote, I was raised a Christian, but have looked at other religions, some of the Eastern things. I was into Taoism for a while, and Confucianism, just different approaches, and some have really stayed with me. End quote. I'd say that's probably the view that most of the people you see in television, movies, and entertainment in general, and the news media and all of them. If you ask them what they believe, that's what they believe. For my ally is the force, and powerful ally it is. Life creates it, makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us and binds us. End quote. That's Yoda. And he's expressing the views of George Lucas, who is behind Star Wars. He calls himself a Methodist Buddhist. Well, how about Albert Einstein? George took some of these quotes from people like Einstein. Einstein said, quote, everything is energy, and that's all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but get that reality. It can be no other way. This is not philosophy. This is physics, end quote. That's what's behind Eastern mysticism and what's behind word faith, Christianity, Christian Science, Scientology, you know, the New Age movement in general, they're all teaching this. That basically, if you put off a certain energy, which includes the confession you make and your attitude, it sends out a vibe or an energy, and it will come back to you, and you can actually create your own reality. I was introduced to this concept as a Cincinnati Reds fan. One of my favorite players was a guy named Dave Collins, and he had a good streak for a year or two there, hitting like Pete Rose, and everybody thought he might be the next Charlie Hustle and everything. And so he was being interviewed after the game one day, and they said, what's your secret? He says, I visualize before the game, and every game, what I visualize, I can make come true. I'm thinking, no, I think he actually keeps his eye on the ball and hits it. Yeah. That's what he's doing. What do you want to ask?
I think a lot of the cartoon-like...
Yes. Yeah, it's throughout the kids' cartoons and everything. Frozen?
Yeah.
What's your name?
What, Elsa?
Elsa.
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah, it's got a lot of that in it.
Yeah, and all those... And even, well... Even my old brother pastor, I bought these things to give to the kids for Christmas. They were like My Little Pony things. Yeah. But he said no, didn't want the kids to have them because they have the different magical things and...
You know, and this thing going on with Walt Disney and Disney World and everything, the reality is that Walt Disney was an apostate. He was raised as a Congregationalist. But you'll notice in Walt Disney, they don't have churches. Go to Disneyland or Disney World on Main Street and all the, they never have a church. Look at his movies, they don't have churches. And Walt Disney was a Freemason, and he had the idea of all being equal. God is whatever you want him to be, whatever you make him to be. He never attended church himself or anything like that. So he sowed the seeds that you're now seeing take place in Disney. And Albert Einstein sowed the seeds in what you're seeing in science today. Here's the Buddha. The mind is everything. What you think, you become. That's just what Einstein said in a nutshell. Jim?
Kim and I were in a business for a number of years, and we read a lot of self-help books, like Norman Vincent Peale and
Zig Ziglar,
Dale Carnegie, you name it. Right. And a lot of it is positive confessions, and I don't think there's anything wrong. I'd rather be around positive people than negative people, but still, that does run into a funny area when you just think that, well, if I say negative stuff's going to happen. And if I say, that's a slippery slope.
And it's also imbalanced. And that was what Zig Ziglar was my favorite author that genre. But the thing was, there were times where, you can't ignore the bad. You can't, you need to recognize the bad that you, so you can avoid it if nothing else.
Yeah.
And if all you do is think, it's like, Christian radio today. They think they think they're saying something good when they say nothing but positive hits. Why not a song about hell every once in a while?
Yeah.
Why not a song about some dirty, rotten sinner who got saved? Why not songs like the hymns? Don't have to sound like the hymns, all right? You want to listen to that stuff, then even the lyrics. And God isn't 100% positive all the time. God's balanced, positive and negative. So, yeah, it sounds good. When I first became a Christian, I had people trying to influence me in that direction. And just, I read the Bible, I'm thinking, that's not how God talks. That's not his, John Maxwell's another one. He's got some good things to say if you're looking for leadership skills and all that. But these guys just get stuck in a rut of positivity.
That's what cemented us for BBF. If you don't believe these, then you're going to go to hell.
Yeah.
It was a perfect balance of God and the good and the bad.
Gotta have both. Can't get saved until you're lost.
Right.
Kim?
Don't you think it's interesting, you have the same thing with Albert Einstein, with the thing of the frequency and whatever you vibe you send out, you get back. Wouldn't you think they'd realize pretty quickly, I'm seeing all these warm vibes, but look this mess I'm living in.
It never seems to click. You know who else was like that? It was Nikola Tesla. And what all it did was to him was draw him into the occult. And he just believed so much in the whole energy vibe thing that he was obsessed with his dead mom and started having seances and that kind of thing too. But if you don't go scriptural, then you go off the deep end. That really sums up all these guys. Kenneth Copeland, the guy who said, you don't have a God in you. You are one. End quote. That's a direct quote from him. Here's his tweet. This is a few years ago, but it still applies. Quote, do you need a car? Today, make the decision to take that car by faith. Say, thank you, Lord, for my car. Lord, I see myself in that car. Thank you, God. I believe I received it, and I take it by faith today.
And the police will be right after you.
God gives a
That's called Grand Theft Auto, isn't it? That's how these guys get, you know, people don't scrutinize what they say because they sound so dramatic and convincing. Watermelon! Nothing in the world like watermelon! Don't you want a watermelon right now? Somebody go get a watermelon! And somebody take off and run and get one. That's how convincing they are. Seed faith, that's right. Here's when you're tempted to take revenge, then you remember that karma is watching. There's all kinds of memes like that out there. You see it all the time.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Karma is not watching. Karma is not it's a force and energy, and it has everything to do with your past life and so forth. We already explained that. Of course, there's Luke. May the force be with you. That's all from the Eastern mystic idea. This Eastern invasion is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy in preparation for the beast system. That's the important thing to understand right now. This Eastern religion. We're going to trace, I mentioned the polytheistic thing, and Jessica, you mentioned, you asked of pantheism. Pantheism is the idea, like I said a few moments ago, that everything is a part of the God force. That everything in the universe, whether it's, we may see it as good or bad or whatever, but it all just works together, the yin, the yang, and all that. And it's just, so when you die, you just are buried and you go back to being part of the universe, you know. And I'm telling you, that you, a lot more people than you think believe that. Yeah.
That has an Easter.
Yeah.
Is that
Eastern.
Him?
Yeah.
Is that
no. Eastern Mysticism. So let's trace it.
I take full responsibility for not the Bible. Let me explain.
It's just the spelling mistakes are just like, okay. We make him. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, if he would come dressed as a bunny one day, that would be really funny. Mark Easter Bunny. I'm sure he's never heard that before. So let's trace the polytheistic pantheism of Eastern mysticism from Eden to the return of Christ. And we're going to do the Bible round robin. And we're going to let you raise your hand and I'll call on you if no one does. John.
Yes.
Genesis 3, 1 to 5. Who else back there? Stephen. Genesis 11, 26 to 28. Jessica, Genesis 31, 25 to 30. Johnny, Genesis 35, 1 to 5. Dan, Deuteronomy 4, 15 through 19. Okay. Janie, Romans 1, 22 to 25. Mary, Romans 1, 26 to 28. And Jim, Revelation 9, 20 to 21. All right. The original departure from monotheism was the deification of men as gods.
Yep.
And we don't have time to get into that, but I believe it originated with the giants in Genesis 6. And after that, these super giant human-like hybrids became deified, and that then was passed down to all the mythological characters that we see and hear about. It's the foundation of pantheism. So beginning in Genesis 3, 1-5, John Albaugh, take that microphone, hold it real close, and read verses 1 through 5, Genesis 3.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Now look at that. It's not a promise that any one person can become God, but that all can become gods.
Yep.
And that is the exact promise made in all of these Eastern religions, that you can reach that enlightenment to be a god. Men can say, I am God, because they see themselves as a god among gods in the midst of the all. I guess back, a lot of you might have seen, what's her name, Shirley MacLaine, and Out on a Limb was the name of the TV movie or whatever, and she's on the beach and she's saying, I am God, and telling some other guy to stand there to say the same thing. See? It's not that she was the God, but everybody can become a God. I remember Frank Peretti. Remember Frank Peretti, the author, Christian author? And he was given a lecture one day, and he was talking about, and he said, you know, it's like God's up there looking down on Shirley, and to God it sounds like, I am God.
Yeah.
I am God. You know,
that was
God could just go, but he's gracious and merciful. A polytheistic pantheist would never claim to worship any one true God. And that's why when you witness to these people, they just can't even think in terms of what you believe when you say you believe in God. They do not have the concept of a God who is the one God, creator of all, and who is personable. Their idea of God is simply energy. Johnny?
So I think I figured out that it sounds like the practical upshot of this, of Eastern religions in that sense, then should be anarchy. Because it sounds like they can't be, by claiming to be gods, it's not power. Because they're just the same as before.
Well, it's the collective.
The idea?
It's not anarchy, but it's the collective. And you'll hear them use that terminology.
But it seems like they're doing it in order to say that since I'm God, you know, right and wrong is whatever I think it should be.
That's true.
And if every single person thinks that, then it's going to conflict.
Yeah, it's what's going on in this country, that the idea that our diversity is our strength, and no, it has always been our unity that's been our strength. The assimilation of immigrants into this country, and even though we may be Roman Catholic, Protestant, Baptist, or whatever, independent, but we all had a shared belief in the God of the Bible, even though from that point some people went way off, you know. But we all agreed that the God of the Bible was God, and that the Bible was the authority. Even Ben Franklin and some of these guys who rejected the new birth and rejected the deity of Christ said that the Bible has to be the foundation of our country. Our laws were written based on biblical documents like the Blackstone legal commentary and the Magna Carta and all these things. They were biblically based. And so now America is being torn to pieces by diversity.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, Abraham's family were the original Chaldeans that held prevalence in Babylon. I believe that when all is said and done, we're going to find out that those Chaldeans that countered Daniel and the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, I believe they were descendants of Abraham's family. Now, let's look at it. Genesis 11, 26 through 28. Who's reading that? Stephen?
And Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father, Terah, in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldeans.
Ur of the Chaldees. That's Chaldean.
Yeah.
And so you have Abraham coming out from among them. And God chose Abraham and Lot, Haran's son, who's Abram's, at this time, Abram, who became Abraham, it's his nephew, came out with him. But he all got all messed up, and his daughters had his babies and gave us the Ammonites and the Moabites. So Abraham comes out and becomes the monotheistic father of faith. But his family remained in Chaldea and became Chaldeans, which became that group in Babylon. And Abraham was Laban's great uncle. He was the son of Nahor, Laban was, and the brother of Rebekah, the wife of Isaac. Now that's interesting because we come down a little later and the Bible is clear that Terah and the Chaldeans were Eastern mystical polytheistic pantheists. So Abraham's father, uncle, and other relatives worshipped idols, plural. They were pantheistic, and that's what became the Chaldeans in Babylon. In Joshua, you'll see later in Joshua 24:2, and Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. Even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Plural. So when you wonder, how did those Chinese and Japanese and all the Asians over there get into all these Eastern mystic polytheistic pantheon? That's where it started. We're seeing in the Bible gives us the historical background to what we see today in all those countries. Abraham's family in Ur remained polytheistic pantheists according to the Bible. Who's next? Jessica's going to read Genesis 31, 25 through 30.
Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, and didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs, with tabret and with harp, and hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt, but the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my goods?
No. What's that last word?
Gods.
See?
Stole my God.
Now think about that. People ask, he recognized Jacob had a God, but he thinks that Jacob's God is just one of many. And he's got his gods, Jacob's got his God, and you stole my God. There's just some gods, aren't they? Aren't you glad your God can't be stolen? And Laban was Abraham's great nephew. But he was still back there in Chaldea. The Chaldeans were pantheistic, polytheistic. and already said that. So the Eastern mystical pantheistic pantheism of the Chaldees and Ur remained with Abraham's great nieces, who's in Genesis 35, 1 through 5. Johnny? Okay. I'll remind you before you read it that what we're showing you is that all this Eastern mysticism, all these different religions, the New Age movement, everything, there it is. Ain't nothing new about it. Good, Johnny.
And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob.
Who's carrying all these gods? Rachel?
Yeah.
Leah?
Yeah.
Bilhah? I'm sure the midwives or the concubines had them just as much. What was the other one's name? Bilhah and... Milka? Is that... I should know. I just read it today. Yeah, Rachel, Leah,
Bilhah,
and picking up. I don't want to say. I don't want to leave it there because I'm not sure. You got to be careful to be. Anybody else looking it up? Bilhah was one.
No.
Zilpah. That sounds right.
Yeah, Bilhah.
Zilpah. All right.
Zilpah, yeah.
But they all came from the Chaldees, and they all had their gods.
Yep.
This commitment to monotheism that we're seeing there in Genesis 35, Jacob's committing to monotheism. And it lasted until the time of the judges. And we read that in the previous. Idolatry is the visual, how you may hear this, aid to worship that expresses Eastern mystical polytheistic pantheism in its forms. Deuteronomy 4, 15 to 19. Is that Dan? Go ahead.
Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth, and lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven.
You see, they're worshiping idols that they make, they make idols looking like animals, the moon, the sun, everything. It's pantheistic. They're just worshiping nature, and they just make as many idols as they want of everything they see. God's warning wasn't about monotheistic idolatry, which is the concept a lot of people think. It's like he had one God, and it was of this pantheistic polytheism that is rampant today. Goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and here you have Moses, under Moses' law, they're being warned. Paul described the progression from monotheism to polytheistic pantheism that we saw in Sodom and in our day. We're going to skip now to Paul. But I mean, as you go through your Old Testament, you read, you'll see over and over this multiple gods thing. And just keep in mind that they didn't have any limit. You just got to pick and choose, and you could have as many gods as you want. Really, the one thing that limited them a lot of times is because if you were going to worship certain gods, you were required to give certain amounts, give certain things, and so you had to pick and choose what you could afford. But Romans 1, 22 through 25, Janie's going to read that.
I'm cool. My dad.
Romans 1, 22 through 25. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed their glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men and made to birds.
No, just and to birds.
Sorry. I was reading two lines. Man and two birds, and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
So you see that? These people are being described as just basically being given over. They're not just worshiping one other god, one idol. They just make images of everything they want to, and they worship it. Pantheistic nature worship is the result of God handing man over to the flesh. Men who reject God's word, reject the witness of creation that tells you there is a creator behind it all. And they then turn to worshiping nature itself, the creation rather than the creator. New Age, Eastern, mystical, polytheistic, pantheism, and Sodom go hand in hand. And if you don't believe me, first of all, just start looking around. You'll see more and more all this Sodomite, LGBTQ stuff. It's all... they're all evolutionists to start with, Darwinian, and they're all given over to nature worship. This is an example of what's happening today is that Christians are no longer welcome. This is a guy who's a professing Christian. Director James Gunn responds to calls to recast Chris Pratt over his public Christianity. Director James Gunn on Monday defended superstar actor Chris Pratt after some left-wing fans called for Marvel to recast Pratt over his public Christianity, which was equated with what?
Homophobia.
Wow.
Because that's the Christianity is the alternative to Sodomite pantheism.
Yep.
And you're going to see it more and more clear as we go on. This is from Time Magazine recently. Regular Christians are no longer welcome in American culture.
Yeah.
It's dangerous to believe. That's where we are.
That's
Time Magazine, yeah. Homosexuality, LGBTQP, the P stands for pedophile, doesn't bring judgment. The Sodomite revival is God's judgment. Mary's going to read that to us in verses 26 through 28 in Romans 1.
For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient.
So what Jane read was that progression into basically nature worship and pantheism and everything, and then what's God do? He hands them over to what? LGBTQP. Month of June, Pride. God is handing America and the world at large over in preparation for the rapture and the 70th week of Daniel. The Bible is clear that Eastern mystical polytheistic pantheism is the basis of the coming tribulation beast worship. And I believe, by the way, like a lot of Roman Catholics, by the way, Malachi Martin, a good Roman Catholic who agrees with me on this, the final pope will be the Antichrist. And one of the things you're seeing right now is under Francis and a lot of the cardinals is the incorporation of Eastern mysticism in Roman Catholicism, along with Islam, the whole Chrislam thing. It's all setting the stage for a world religion. Who's going to read this, Jim? Revelation 9, 20 and 21.
And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither could see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts.
I heard a scientist a while back talking about how amazed he was at how many scientists who were former atheists who are now getting into pantheism. And they're getting little trinkets and idols around their house. And it's, he says, it's like walking into a shrine. And these are people who used to be atheists. Just so happens to be happening in these end times, right before the whole Antichrist beast worship. The God of forces. That's what the Antichrist will worship, the God of forces, and he will be a vile sodomite. We studied that when we were back in Daniel, chapter 7. Okay. Daniel 11:37 says, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. Why? He's a Jew. He's a Jew with the DNA of a Jew. Like there have been other Roman Catholic priests, and there have been at least a couple popes who had Jewish blood in them. The final pope will have this Jewish DNA, but he'll be ahead of a world religion based in Rome. He will not regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. The Left Behind books really blew it on this one. The Antichrist even gets some lady pregnant and all this crazy nonsense. He's not, the Bible says, nor the desired women. Why would you have the Antichrist getting a woman pregnant in your Left Behind books? Nor regard any God in the sense of one God, for he shall magnify himself above all. And then verse 38, but in his estate shall he honor the what? God of forces. May the force be with you. And a God whom his fathers knew not, because he's a Jew and he's not going to worship the God of his fathers. He shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. He'll be like these scientists. His house is going to look like a shrine. But he will be the big God in his eyes. The beast will be seen as the elevated Christ figure above all others and worshipped. Yep. Revelation 19:20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. So you think all these people with their little idols and everything, they're going to add one, and it'll be the premier. It'll be the beast. His image that they worship as a god. Well, these both were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and all who follow him will be cast in the lake of fire. So the closing remark is simply this. Learn to discern for your own sake and the sake of those you love. Yeah. You learn these things so that you won't get caught up in them, but you also learn them because you love people enough that you want to be educated so that you can talk intelligently about such things. In our next study, we're going to talk about in angels in the spirit world, a very important subject. Near-death experiences called NDEs. And all these claims of people saying they're going to heaven. And some who claim they went to hell came back. It'll be a very interesting study. So let's stand. And I have my lovely wife start us off. We're going to sing, We Shall Wear a Crown.
And when the battle's over,
we shall wear a crown, yes, we shall wear a crown, yes, we shall wear a crown.
And
when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem.
we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. Say goodbye to the onliners with a reminder to get your prayer request into bbfohio@protonmail.com.
Let me turn the mic on and say that again.
bbfohio@protonmail.com. And everybody else, get your prayer cards ready, and Janie's going to collect those. If you lift them in the air or raise your hand, she'll get those. As we say goodbye on three, one, two, three. See you here,
there, or in the air.